Good morning, everyone.
Before our opening hymn, I just had a small announcement. My name is Paul Grambo. I sit over there. So we are singing a hymn this morning for our opening hymn called Praise the Lord, Ye Heavens, Adore Him. The words may be familiar, but the tune may not be. We make no apologies for doing a tune that you may not know. See, what happened is on Thursday night, Steve introduced this tune to the choir, and no one here knew the tune, which is remarkable considering that the collective choral knowledge of the choir dates back to the time of King David. So it is remarkable that no one knew the tune. So we are now going to put this on to you. The number in your book is 420. It is by Henry Smart, who also wrote Angels from the Realms of Glory. No, we're not singing that. That's later. Shall we rise and sing this together? Good luck.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James on this beautiful fall day, and I'll ask you to be seated for a few announcements. Well, not a few if I've brought up my clipboard. So I know there are some people that would like to come up and make announcements, and so I'm going to ask them to go first so I can check it off the list. So, Paul, you're up.
Hi, you know me from earlier. So, different hat. As well as being a member of this choir, I'm also the artistic director of London Pro Musica Choir, who makes its home right here at St. James. And I'm here to tell you about a performance of Handel's Messiah that is happening this Saturday night. November the 25th at 7:30. We will be right here. We have a host of local soloists, including our own Kyle Guilfoyle, who will be singing the alto solos, a wonderful string band, and the choir is very well prepared. The choir actually has 7 members of this choir. That's not quite true. 6 members of this choir and Father Michael in the choir. So if you don't come to support the choir, come to support the new guy from Saskatchewan. So that's Saturday at 7:30 p.m. If you catch me after the service, I don't have tickets. That was an oversight. But I do have this little thing that has a QR code that takes you to the website where you can get your tickets for you and all your friends. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Laura Manius. If you don't know me, hi. On behalf of St. James, I'm working with Old South Community Organization to put on Breakfast with Santa here as part of Christmas in the Village on December 2nd. We are looking for a few helpers. I have people for the day of, but we are going to be decorating the hall December 1st at 4 o'clock. And if you are able to come help me and some high school kids and I think Libby Clifford, that would be great. We'd love to have you. So come find me after. The Christmas in the Village committee has also asked St. James to be the backup location for the afternoon to host the games in the basement and the music acts here in the church. So we are looking for someone who has the keys to the building to help be custodian for the day, security person perhaps. So Jim Circum's going to take one of the areas and we need one more person. So if you're interested in that job, just to be on call, depending on the weather, that would be great. So come see me if you're interested in that also. Thanks so much.
So this is a happening place because on December 10th, which is a Sunday coming up, there's also going to be a meat in the middle breakfast cooked by our own very famous John Sizeland. And so the idea is that the 8:30 congregation will get to stay a little bit later and have breakfast, and you lovely folk of the 10:30 congregation can come a little bit earlier and have a breakfast. There'll be activities for kids and a great opportunity for fellowship and connection. So really looking forward to that one. Good news that the heat is back on in the hall, so I believe we'll be having coffee after the service for a time of fellowship, so do stay and have some conversations and catch up with some friends. Also, is Victoria here? No. Victoria, one of our lovely choir members, has put together some merchandise for our 150th anniversary. One of the things that she's often fallen in love with about the church is the beautiful rose window right at the back above the organ glass. If you turn around, you can see it right at the top. It's stunning, and she's modeled this in a graphic and has t-shirts and golf shirts, sweatshirts, and even coffee mugs to be able to be purchased. I believe there is an order sheet in the Sterling Vestry. Bette also has an order sheet. I'm very excited about this. This looks wonderful, and they've done such a great job. These screens, we're working on getting them at a better height for everyone, but in your emails, you'll find that there is now a link to the whole slideshow that you can access on your phone or on your tablet. So if you have a phone or a tablet that you'd like to bring to church, I will assume that you're not texting, that you're not getting distracted or playing Candy Crush, but actually following the service along. And so that will be accessible to you if you have a phone. And if you're wondering, what's this email that we're talking about? You should talk to either the wardens or myself, and we can get you signed up to the mailing list so that you can get the slideshow for both the 10:30 and the 8:30 every Sunday. And with that, let us start church. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy through the power of him who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, siblings, you do not need to have anything written to you, For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness. For that day to surprise you like a thief, for you all are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lift up my eyes to you enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, our Lord God, until he shows his mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt, too much of the scorn of the indolent, and of the derision of the proud. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "It is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you have handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So last Sunday, we had this parable of the 10 bridesmaids, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and it left off with a pretty nasty line that said, "And the master didn't know the 5 foolish ones, and they were left in the outer darkness." And I took that parable and I worked with it and said, maybe we aren't the bridesmaids. Maybe the bridesmaids are the next generation, and it's our job to inspire the next generation to be wise and clever and to own their faith in a unique and special way. And after the service, someone who had attended this congregation and heard my sermon said, "Well, I agreed with what you said. That was fine. But the text still made me angry, and you didn't deal with the parts that made me angry." And I love St. James because you get called out on this. And I also love God because God gives me a second chance to deal with a particularly nasty verse. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to work with this parable and see if we can understand what it was meaning, what it was saying, and what it might mean for us today. Because I don't know if any of you felt particularly happy after hearing this parable, but I most certainly did not. When I think about Jesus' sermons, when I think about Jesus' life, the message that I resonate with is, you get a second chance, Jesus died for you, and you can always come back and try again. I like that one. I feel like I need a lot of second chances in my life. The poor slave who only had 1 talent and got thrown into the outer darkness for doing the safest thing possible with it kind of scares me. And maybe it kind of scares you too. So I'll tell you how I deal with difficult passages. One of the first things that I like to do is I like to take a step out of it and to look at the whole context of the gospel and see where this parable is coming. And this is one of Jesus's last teachings that he gives to his disciples. So he has called a group of people together. He has worked with them. He's taught with them. He's traveled around the outer areas and the wilds and the rural towns in Israel and has then decided to head to Jerusalem. And he knows what's in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem are the headquarters of the people that he's making upset and angry. So he knows he's going into the city of Jerusalem with a stick and is going to poke the hornet's nest. He knows that this isn't going to go well. And so he's talking to his followers, his disciples, and he's offering them guidance and he's offering them hope. And so this parable that Jesus is telling isn't being told to the whole congregation, isn't being told to the gathered temple crowds. It's being told to his closest friends. And it's meant to be encouraging. And it's sometimes a little hard to see how it's encouraging, because we often worry, maybe we're that one with the one talent who's going to just be a little cautious with it. I don't know if I can take a ton and invest it. We're all not super swanky financial advisors and planners and can grow our portfolio the way that these two slaves did. What happens if we don't get enough? And it makes us a little bit afraid. Makes us a little bit nervous. Makes us a little bit anxious about what will God think of us. And so when we look at that, I had my breakthrough moment with this text when I realized what the master said to the servant with the one talent. And it wasn't, you should have gone out and invested it and talked with people and made another talent. It was, you should have at least done something with it. You should have done anything with it. You could have invested it with the bankers and got your 0.0024% interest rate. That would have been enough. But just leaving it behind and doing nothing. Well, interesting. When the master gave those talents to his slaves, he didn't tell them what to do with it. He just gave it to them and left it up to their own devices. Now, a talent comes from the Greek word tantalon, which is the equivalent of 15 years worth of wages. So even one talent is a lot of money. And so in this story, we hear about the master giving to his followers, giving to his people an incredible amount of wealth. The one who was given 5 talents was 75 years worth of labor. 75 years. That's a lot. But I don't think Jesus was just talking about economic wealth. Jesus wasn't just talking about our funds and our finances. For once, the English language did something right when we translated tantalon to talent. And in our modern language, talent means the gifts and the skills that we have. Some people might have a talent for juggling. Some might have a talent for drawing. Some might have a talent for financial matters. But we've all been given an incredible gift from God. Many incredible gifts from God. And what the message that I'm pulling out of this parable today is that those gifts are given to us to do something with. The only thing to fear is fear itself. You've heard that. And that's what this one slave represents, who's taken this incredible gift from God and buried away and have done nothing with it. God has given us gifts so that we can engage with each other, so that we can interact and know that God can use all things to his great benefit. I actually believe that, you know. I believe that no matter what your passion, what your gift or skill is, that it can be used for the glory of God. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and one of my formative moments was watching the movie Braveheart for the very first time. With Mel Gibson, you know the one? So, there's King Robert the Bruce there, right? And being a Bruce, this was the introduction to my history. And wouldn't you believe if every stick that I found became a sword that I would learn to fight with and hit trees with and go exploring? And I was a pretty incredibly nerdy child. Now I'm just an incredibly nerdy man. But I fell in love with sword fighting as a big part of my identity. And I bought them from the little surplus store, and I trained myself into how to do sword fighting and bought ancient manuscripts that taught me 14th century German longsword. And then when I became a priest, I thought, that doesn't seem really appropriate for a guy dressed like this to be carrying around a big stick and waving it at people. That's probably not the image I'm going for. So I put that away. I put it to its side. And then after one particularly brutal parish council meeting, when I really just wanted to hit something, I pulled out those sticks again. And after another conversation, it was about, we can't get any young people into the parish. How can we do this? I said, give me the parish hall on a Friday night, and I'm going to start a club. But it's your job to connect with the people who come. And so sure enough, I started a 14th century German longsword fighting school. Yep, this was my passion, and I wanted to do it, and it seemed kind of cool. I did earn the nickname the Sinister Minister of Regina. But this was my offering. And there was a small group that came together. There was a group that found community and enjoyed doing sword fighting and learning it. And in fact, that is how I met my wife, Heather. And so I believe deeply that anything, no matter how nerdy or no matter how important or sophisticated, can be a gift offered in the service of God. If I had taken my love of 14th century German longsword and buried it under a tree, I would have never met my wife. Who would have thought that? Who would have guessed that? And who knows with you? What is that passion? What is that gift that you have? And are you offering it out to the world around us? God never told those slaves to be successful. You had to earn another 5 talents, another 75 years worth of wages with what I've given you. God just invited us to do something with it and not hide it away. And so that's the good news in this text. That's the encouragement that we have. It's not that God is wrathful, but that God has given gifts so abundantly, so generously that it's beyond comprehension. And all that's asked of you is to participate in society, to give those gifts in service of something more than yourself, to offer them to the world and see what might happen. And so there's the encouraging word. God doesn't care if we're successful or not, but only that we try. God calls us to plant the seeds, and it's up for God to water them and to help them grow. And so there's the good news in this text. There's the word of encouragement. When Rebecca was looking through the readings this week, trying to find something nice to put on the overhead slides as they cycle through at the beginning of the service, she went, oh goodness, these are a doozy. There's not much there. But the one that stood out was the end of our first reading. To continue to encourage one another, as indeed you are doing. Those are the words that I echo to you now. Continue to encourage one another, indeed as you are doing. Amen. Please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of
I would invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
Gathered as God's people, let us pray. Holy God, if we are presuming on your mercy, alert us and shatter our complacency. If we are doubting your mercy, affirm us in the reality of your forgiveness. May we, as the church, encourage and warn, but never condemn. Acknowledge sin, but never judge. Christ will come again. Make us ready to meet him. Holy God, raise up your prophets to speak out your truth. and draw attention to whatever needs changing in our world. Our expectations and assumptions, our management of resources and finances, our systems of governments, and our attitudes. May all people come to recognize your truth. Christ will come again. Make us ready to meet him. Holy God, fill our homes and places of work with so much love that tensions and barriers melt away. Conflicts are resolved and troubles lightened by being lovingly shared. Open our hearts to hope again where we had given up. Christ will come again. Make us ready to meet him. Holy God, may all in misery and despair turn to find you close beside them in their heartache, not condemning, but loving them in their pain. May all who are locked in terror or guilt be set free, and may those whom long-term illness wearies be strengthened to preserve, freed from resentment. In our own parish, we pray especially for Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Liz Bailey, Ashley, and Jamie. Christ will come again. Make us ready to meet him. Holy God, Lord of the living and the dead, we commend to your mercy all who have died, and thank you for that eternal healing which frees us from all pain and suffering. Christ will come again. Make us ready to meet him. Holy God, we thank you for the gifts and talents you have given us. Give us the courage to use them for the good of the world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned
against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be led to your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. Holy God, in this Eucharist we renew our baptismal covenant. Help us through our offering this day to renounce all the things that draw us from your love. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You are the source of light and life for all your creation. You made us in your own image and call us to new life in Jesus Christ our Savior. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. For the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread.
So may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this sacrament, we have shared the body and blood of Christ. May we who have been nourished by holy things bear witness to his light and share in his eternal priesthood, for he is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power is for the yes. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Our service of worship draws to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
awesome. So special thanks to Liam. Joyce's grandson. Look at how proud Joyce is over there singing. Anyway, thanks to Liam. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.